This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're going to be a pundit, you're going to be a commentator, which is something I am qualified to talk about. You know what? Mean what the hell you say. Do your research. Know your facts and what have you. But then be open to being corrected. AFC East titles. 5 division titles in the last 5 years. 61-22 record in that span. Ranked 2nd in the NFL only to the Kansas City Chiefs. Your scoring offense over the last 5 years. Best in the NFL. Total offense. 2nd in the NFL to the Chiefs. Scoring defense, right? Best in the NFL. But your total defense, they obviously have to improve some things, and we get that part. The point is that when the GM calls up and he says to you, you don't know what the hell you're talking about, is entirely inbounds. He was absolutely right to do it. And it ain't just about what you say, it's how you said it.
Stephen A. I mean,
what's up, Stephen A?
Is irony the word there? I guess. Yeah, my mom used to say the smart one shuts up first. I'm not always the smart one. Maybe I could be here.
You would think he would be on the side of, hey, GM, why get mad about two people's opinions?
Well, it's not even that
on the air.
It's not.
I'm sure he's. Can you believe he wouldn't have dealt with that 1,000 times in his life?
Sure. Sure. It is, the whole thing has been, you know, we haven't exactly done much with this, the bean thing from Monday today. We're talking about, you know, the draft, the division, lots of different stuff.
Whether 75 is a round number.
We just had Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast talk about how he thought they'd take a receiver. To me, the oddest thing of all this, the oddest thing of all, if I may, like here's Stephen A. Smith say, like, we got to admit that we're wrong or being corrected. Part of the reason we thought the Bills might add a receiver in the middle rounds is because of their top 30 visits.
Yeah,
they brought
right.
in 7 guys.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess I don't know why the Bills GM is acting like trying to portray that this is a silly idea when it was absolutely possible
right,
that they did
it. He has admitted he considered it.
Yeah.
Or even it's admitted that he would have done it if the right player was on the board.
Right.
Admitting to that in the Elijah Moore clip that we've played, that he said part of the reason they put a pin in it with Elijah Moore was to see if they were going to pick a guy in rounds 1 or 2. His words.
Right. He got to round 7 and he said, I'm surprised I haven't got a receiver till round 7. Like,
right.
It's very odd being... We
haven't talked about Amari Cooper's place in all this and the fact that they did trade for him.
And he said about Cooper in the offseason... We scored 7 more points per game with him in the lineup.
Right.
He was defending that Cooper made a difference for them.
Right.
The whole thing is so odd. It's almost to me like I think what happened is, here's what I think happened. Here's the breakdown of it. I think they went in thinking they'd get one. It didn't line up. The GM is someone that is faithful to the process and the board.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't get one. And it's almost like you're yelling at 2 different conversations. He's shouting, it never presented itself. What are you talking about? We went through, it didn't happen. Meanwhile, mm-hmm. if they did 10 mock drafts inside their own facility, I bet there's a receiver, and but there's in some of them there's 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because of course it was always possible.
Right.
Of course it's not about fantasy football. Joe Marino last segment, like multiple receivers he would have considered. He thought they were going to trade up in the 4th. And I believe their coaches maybe think they were going to get another one, and here's Elijah Moore. So the whole thing strikes me as weird.
It's confusing, for sure.
There's tons of evidence that they were interested in the position earlier, and it just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And asking, again, the question The thing that got Bean mad on Monday was me saying to Sal, I'm going to ask him if he thinks he values receiver on the level of his peers.
Right, on more of a general sense.
And
about
he got,
the position.
Which is as tame as it gets to say, I see receivers going a lot earlier for teams that right. have a lot of receivers, and for you, I don't. And one way he could answer that question would be, yeah. Yeah, I think that might be right. I've got Josh Allen. I don't need it. The actions say that.
Mm-hmm.
The actions say, I don't feel like I need that many. They've got four. Some of these depth charts have six and seven guys deep that you'd be comfortable with. And the Bills, again, like you don't even
have four.
You don't even have to make it a fight. It's just a, do you think you're a little lower on this position than others?
Mm-hmm.
If they were drafting number if eight, where Tet McMillan went, would they have gone somewhere else? I mean, the Panthers went on McMillan. You want to say that's because for them, they need to prop up Bryce Young a little more? All this has context and makes a ton of sense. So if they want to say, we don't need to draft it, we'll just go, you know, scrape guys and get Palmers and Samuels. I mean, that is a little bit expensive, but whatever. You can mm-hmm. make a case they can do that. He says, we did it last year. I say, that's right, you did. And if they want to go the next 5 years with this model, and by saving those picks at that position while other teams are chasing it, they build the best defensive line in football, well, then that could work.
Right.
And here's one last thing about it, because I got somebody in the chat on YouTube getting after me for not pounding the table how they can't win like this. And they can't – you love receivers so much, you should be pounding the table. And the reality is this. Brandon Bean has the ultimate trump card that he kind of played at us, and he played on the McAfee show. He gets to go over and pull Josh Allen in front of him and saying, you're saying this guy can't do it?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying to that, I'm not saying he can't do it. I know he can do it. I know he can.
Mm-hmm.
He almost got you to the Super Bowl with the group he had last year. That group from last year to this year is down one starter.
Right.
But – You're asking me to you gonna try and tell me Josh Allen can't do this? And that's where anybody with a brain that watches the league that isn't some hot take artist that says Josh Allen needs to be better. No, I'm not gonna do that. All right, you tell me an Allen we trust. I'm gonna say I do trust an Allen. I do trust, and I might not trust some other parts of what they're doing, but I'm not about to bet against Josh Allen. If the Bills win a Super Bowl with nobody of significance at receiver, that Lombardi trophy is just as silver as all the other ones. And if they win two, maybe Brady won some with these guys and some with these guys. And Mahomes has one with Tyreek Hill and one with Mecole Hardman.
Yeah.
And the silver is silver, you know? The offseason is about talking about what should you do? What do you think they're going to do? Hey, fans, let's talk about it. And
what you think gives them the best chance to do all of this.
And ultimately, we're all aligning it. The Twitter poll up today is, are you more optimistic or about the same or less? And it's 96% or about the same or more, which I think is how the offseason pretty much works around here. Like, all right, take another run at it. You had a great year.
Mm-hmm.
There were some questions about them last year, and they looked pretty strong. So, you know.
Yeah.
The whole thing strikes me as odd because he's trying to make it seem like he's getting blasted for not taking a thing that he clearly was targeting somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
When he's not getting blasted, and he's mocking the idea that why would you even think we wanted that? Seven pre-draft visits would tell me.
Right. Well, right. He made the comment. I don't even know if we've brought this one up specifically. How could you? This isn't going to be an exact quote, but it's roughly what it was. How could you think that we're not better at that position this year than we were last year? He said that.
Yeah.
And that has to be about Josh Palmer, right?
Which
he's the only big difference, and he's probably right in that Palmer is going to be an upgrade over both Cooper and Hollins, but. Again, like I continue to point to that vacated snap stat. Like there are 1,100 of those, and Palmer is not going to play them all. So I think maybe where the difference would be for me is, and then like that question, which is only a small piece of this, I guess it's a piece of it, is are they actually going to be better? Palmer, yes, but that can't be all of it. It's how much do you trust the internal guys to be better than they were last year.
Yep.
And that's possible. Kincaid taking a step, Coleman taking a step, and Samuel staying healthy. But that's an if.
Right. And
three ifs.
And the shield you have against those ifs is you have the unicorn quarterback that's going to be a part of all of them or one of them or two of them doing it. And I, like I said, like I don't think anyone's here to bet against Josh Allen.
And look what they're doing. It's different than what they're doing at corner right now, by the way. Like wide receiver, the guys you are relying on right now are, there are ifs about them. And if at the moment, if those don't come to fruition, this is part of why just one more guy would have felt perfect for it. And they might do that with Elijah Moore or another veteran. Is if one of those ifs doesn't come to fruition, what's my next man up? And that doesn't seem, it seems pretty thin right now. What are they doing at corner? Corner, there are ifs. Benford's health. Benford has had problems staying healthy. It's a little bit of an if. He's great. I mean, he was on the field, there's no question. Hairston as a rookie, whether he'll be ready, that's an if. Tre'Davious White returning to form, even at 60% of what he used to be, that's an if. So I've got ifs at that position, but look at all the options they've given themselves. I've got Dane Jackson here and Jamarcus Ingram there. I've got guys that have played on the field.
Yeah.
And I've got rookies that they drafted as well on top of that. And that's not presently how they're treating receiver, except for, again, they're bringing Elijah Moore in for a visit, and that would be treating receiver the same way.
Jimmy in Miami before the break. Hey, Jimmy, what's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Hey, I want to ask you about Isaiah Bond, but the whole Bean thing, you know, I was thinking, you know, if Bean doesn't say the B word four times, I counted, and I replayed the whole interview, like, I don't know how many times, but if he doesn't say that, he doesn't escalate the whole conversation. In other words, if the conversation starts out like, well, I've been listening to you guys for the last 2 minutes. I know you're talking about receiver with Sal and stuff, but let me state my case. And if he goes through his whole situation, why he, what he was thinking and the whole process of his thought process there, and he doesn't say the B word, it's a non-issue. Nobody's talking about it on ESPN. Nobody's talking about it on McAfee. It's like, okay, fine. You stated your case. That's it. But that's what I had to say about that. The other thing is Isaiah Bond. I know he's had some off-field issues. He was supposed to be a first-round draft pick. And, you know, I don't know if he's going to be prosecuted or if, even if he is kicked up by an NFL team, if there's going to be some sort of suspension. But is this guy just a fast guy? Is he a technician? Does he know how to run routes? Or, you know, in college, if you could just run fast, you run by a defender.
Yeah, well, you know, Jimmy,
a lot of touchdowns.
We're up against a break, and we got a bunch of people lining up to talk about this. On Bond, the Bills met with him a lot.
Yep.
And when we talked about that arrest and turning himself in, we wondered, does that take him off their board? Before that...
Or even just drop the stock.
You're right. With Isaiah Bond, the Bills had combine, dinner, pro day, private workout, top 30 visit. At least five visits with Bond. And he did not get drafted.
And has not been picked up.
No.
I haven't seen... I actually looked at this yesterday. I don't think anyone has signed him.
I wonder, there's a name here that I can remember. It was Lyle Collins, who actually did come to the Bills. In 2015, he was supposed to be a top pick, top 10, first rounder, and he dropped because it was announced he was scheduled to talk to the police about the shooting death of a pregnant woman with whom he had a relationship with.
Right.
So what happened?
Didn't get drafted.
He was not considered a suspect. He went undrafted.
Right. And he did end up starting for Dallas for many years after that situation cleared itself.
Yes. In here is his agent threatened he would sit out the season and enter the next draft. Okay. If any team selected him after the third round, he would sit out. So basically,
okay,
he's mentioned in this. He's not a suspect. The agent says, if you draft him after the third, we're sitting out for the year. What happens? He signs as a UDFA on May 7th. Cowboys. He had the thing. It's cleared. UDFA. And I wonder...
But is Bond's situation going to be cleared?
Again, like innocence is a key here. If Bond is cleared, that's UDFA. And
but at the moment, nobody wants to touch him.
Nope. No, undrafted. But the Bills had at least five different visits with him.
Yeah, the prospect's nice. I would defend any team though for right now.
Listen, you can
him turning himself in like a week and a half ago, not wanting to go near him with a 10-foot pole.
You could be mad at us. You could be putting on your Bean shirt. Why are we talking about receiver? You met with Isaiah Bond five times. Why are we talking about receiver? Because you met.
Well, in this case, we just got asked about Isaiah Bond.
That's true. But like, right. Why are we talking about receiver? Why are you talking about the entire pre-draft process was littered with receivers. And if you're someone doing your job, looking pre-draft, you'd say, I think they might be interested in one of these guys. How many corners did they interview and meet with? Seven mm-hmm. corners, seven receivers. The numbers that we got, it was
minutes.
Five defensive tackles, four edge rushers. And they also drafted a bunch of guys on their sheet.
Yeah. Actually, let's do some generic analytics here. Minutes spent talking about per top 30 visit. What would number one be? It wouldn't be receiver. Probably be safety. Didn't they only have one safety in on a visit?
They had one safety in.
All right. So minutes that we talked about the position per how many visits they came in. And safety's actually the position people should be yelling at us about.
Why'd you talk about safety?
Why'd you talk about safety at all? They had one guy in for a visit. They have four guys that have all played in the NFL on their roster. I thought it was defendable.
Yeah.
But they also didn't do it. So.
It's also defendable for Bean to have not taken a receiver. Like it's defendable. Like we just laid it out with Joe Marino, the top of the fourth round. A bunch of guys went. Like, uh-oh. There might have been your run that you missed out on. 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe. Sometimes referred to as Jerry and Joe.
Jerry and Joe.
Depending on which shouty show you're listening to. If you're on hold, stick with us. People want to talk about this, that's fine with us. Last thing I want to do is be accused of like, oh, you're bringing it up again. But if we're talking about the bigger issue, then I welcome it. All your calls are welcome. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for tuning in on WGR.